The BS Report is a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects.
First of all,
this is the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
It might be cool, I don't know. And if it's not, I don't care.
The BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Bill Simmons works for ESPN. He's also named the sports guy, and he writes a comical sports column. You must be a popular dude.
The BS Report.
It's got a real dirty sound, like a rusty steak knife cutting through a well-aged steak.
Now.
Here's Bill Simmons.
Welcome to the BS Report, taping this on a Monday afternoon from the BS Report studio. We had a little technical difficulties in Bristol, so if this sounds a little different, I don't know what to tell you. I guess you'll have to get used to it. On the Subway Fresh Tech Hotline, as always, coming off a dramatic nail-biter of a Cowboys win, Cousin Sal. How are you?
Yeah, Bill.
What's going on?
I'm feeling good, man.
Yeah?
And I'll tell you what, I'm not going to apologize for a win, ever.
You shouldn't.
I feel like we're owed about 10 of those if you've watched the Cowboys over the last dozen years or so, or even 3 years.
Can you at least apologize for not covering?
Yeah. I told you last week, I said this is going to be a tough game. I said Grossman is going to be driving for the win or tie, and it will be a nail-biter. And sure enough, it was.
But. Yeah. I made the classic mistake of just looking at the two obvious trap games and ignoring them, and one of them was the Cowboys, the other was the Giants game. You watch the Giants-Eagles game, and it really did seem like the Eagles had a better team, right? Like, just take motivation aside. Like, it seemed like they were more talented. Am I crazy?
Yeah. And not only that, for the first time, their free agents, like, really showed, you know, like, Namdi was shut lights out, and
yeah.
Steve Smith caught a touchdown, and Babin, you know, causes a fumble at the end. Like, this might be what they need. I don't care who's playing quarterback. This could be what they need to get a little on a little roll here.
Well, I'd like to apologize to America because, as not the creator of the Ewing theory, but the one who's espoused its, Dave Cirilli is the creator.
Oh.
As the one who's espoused its benefits over the last 10 years to a wider and wider audience.
Yeah.
Totally missed the Michael Vick Ewing theory.
Yeah.
Because he's not that good. Like, he's a 500 quarterback. He wasn't playing well this year. He was terrible the week before. And, you know, I was terrified to take the Eagles because of Vince Young, because I don't think Vince Young is good. But I think the one thing that happened was, the Eagles, because Vince Young isn't good, they kind of went back to ball control, moving in, play action, LeSean McCoy.
Yeah.
And it just felt different watching them. I didn't feel like they were that erratic. And that they might be dangerous if they just stay with that game plan.
Little dump-offs to Celek and little screens. And he still had three interceptions. But
that's terrible.
That's a Michael Vick game anyway. But, yeah, in his second half, he looked good. He drove them down the field a few times.
He had three interceptions, and I didn't feel like he played that well. But I felt like they had more of an identity. They were like more of this ball control, kind of grind the clock out. Let's let our defense, you know, win most of this game for us and we'll do. I don't know. They just felt different watching them. And yeah, Vince wasn't terrible. I mean, he made some picks, but he hasn't played in a year. I thought he was great in that final drive. He made some big plays.
So let me ask you, Vince, if Michael Vick says, you know what? I'm not going to be a big sissy like I've been all my life. I'm going to put on that Kevlar jacket. I'm going to take a page out of the great Tony Romo's book. And I want to play. What do you say? You say no thanks?
Yeah, I wouldn't play him until he's healthy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Me too.
And that was a classic. It was a classic on both ends. It was a classic Andy Reid. Every time you think I'm counting me out and I'm going to get fired, we're going to just win out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
And then it was the classic Giants home game, which we talked about on the podcast last week. It had all the makings.
Yep.
Giants are good. Oh, they're world this week, blah, blah, blah. NFC East. And they scored 10 points.
Yeah. And they can't run the ball. I think they said, like, the Giants have two rushes for more than 20 yards this year, and they're both from Bradshaw. And he's out, of course. And that's, every game's going to be a mystery at the end for them.
Well, the one thing we can, I think, all agree on is that Brandon Jacobs is completely washed up.
Yeah.
There's just nothing left. And I started him in our fantasy league, and he's probably going to cost me this week because he was just atrocious, and he doesn't move the pile anymore. And forget about running downhill. It looks like he's running uphill.
Mm-hmm. And this is supposed to be when he gets good, when it's cold and everything.
Yeah. Especially, like, against that Eagles line that was, you know, obviously they're pretty good against the run. You'd think he would be able to move the line back, but... what else jumped out at you yesterday other than Jack Del Rio screwing up my Jags cover and win?
You hate that. I think we have to stay away from bad teams in general. Like, just I don't know. You made that like your contest pick, Jacksonville, yeah, Cleveland.
Look, you get your first down. You're on the 2 yard line with 43 seconds left. And you waste 28 seconds so you can run the ball right into the line again. And all of a sudden now you're panicking. Like, it was just a disaster. Use your timeout, Jack.
Yeah.
Just call the timeout with 43 seconds left, and you now you have a lot of time. But, yeah, I that pick didn't work out for me. And Dallas, obviously, up 7, where you think, like, all right, well, this here's where Rex throws the pick, and you run the clock out. At least I get a push.
Yeah.
And then what was the other one? Miami, I hit.
That was nice. I actually had Buffalo there,
oh,
but
yeah. Minnesota, which yeah. I still think Minnesota wins if Peterson doesn't get hurt. That was one of those, he's getting carted off, and they're like, oh, we don't even have to watch this game anymore.
Yeah.
They're not going to win with Toby Gerhart and a rookie QB. But.
And now he's out for a while, right? Is
yeah.
4 to 6 weeks?
He's out for a while. I mean, the big injury we're going to have to talk about. A day after, I bet the Bears 10-1 to win the NFC. Jay Cutler. Looks like he's out for the season, but might be able to come back for the playoffs. I still think, you know, I think they can go 3-3 the next 6. Their schedule's not that hard.
They have the AFC West coming up.
Tebow's in there.
Yeah.
They have San Diego, which, you know, that's you. Oh, no, they already played San Diego. With the Kansas City, I think they have, Tyler
yeah.
Palco.
Yeah, they have the rest. The next 3 games are against the AFC West. So, they could do it. They play tough defense, and they run the ball, and maybe if Caleb Haney, we fell in love with in the playoffs, if he could keep the turnovers to a minimum, they could be something.
He wasn't terrible.
No.
I didn't think he would. It's not like there's worse QBs you could put out there.
Well, now they're talking like they must sign. I don't know who I was listening to yesterday. Mark Bolger is available. That's the guy you want in there. It's like, oh, has it come to that? I mean, I guess if it's between him Ooh. And Brett Favre, but please, please, God, let it be Mark Bolger. But...
What was Mark Bulger doing for the last 11 weeks?
I haven't heard his name in 18 months.
He wasn't good 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's like the Kerry Collins thing. It's like, oh, they signed Kerry Collins. Oh, well, so what? Where does that take you?
Mm.
I'm not counting out the Bears. I think 10 wins will get both of those wild cards, and it'll just come down to who beat who and whatever. And Chicago's beaten Detroit. I think, have they beaten them twice or just, oh, they split with Detroit.
They split with them, I think, yeah.
They beat Philly.
Right.
That's a bonus.
Mm-hmm.
Did they play Atlanta?
They played. Well, I can't remember now if they played.
No, I don't think they played Atlanta.
No.
But, you know, as long as they go 3-3, I think it'll be fine.
Yeah, they could be okay. They could be okay. That wild card's really shaping up. I tell you, when the Lions were down 10 yesterday to Carolina.
Yeah.
Or even more, right? Was it 24-7? I don't know.
Something like that.
I said this team is done.
Yeah.
They're not going to get the 10 wins. They don't play any defense, and they can't run the ball. And then Kevin Smith.
Out of nowhere.
Where was this guy?
Unbelievable.
First of all, he looks like he's 158 pounds.
Yeah.
And he's running the ball 40 yards a clip. I'm like, oh, boy, they're back, just like that.
I was watching some of the Grantland guys yesterday, and he broke some play, and he looked really good, and it said Smith on his jersey. Because we didn't have that game on one of the big TVs. And it's like, is that... It's not Kevin Smith, right? That can't be Kevin Smith. Like,
yeah.
The guy, I thought he was off the team a year ago.
Yeah, that's Robert Smith, the ex-Viking.
What Smith is that? Big Smith argument, and then it turns out it's Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
And I thought he looked really good. Maybe it does take 10 years to recover from ACL surgery.
That's what they say.
He looked really good, though. It made a difference, because they weren't getting a running game before, and, well, let's go to the Thanksgiving games.
Yeah,
because
these are the best. Thanksgiving games I ever remember. I mean, they've only had 3 for a few years now, but
how many divorces do you think come out of this Thanksgiving?
It's going to be a lot. I hope a lot, because I mean, it's understandable. Is there going to be a judge that grants full custody to a wife because the guy watched these 3 games? He's a phenomenal. Which one do you have to skip?
Well, the problem is usually that early game was the throwaway game, because that was always
right.
Fill in the blank 38 Detroit 10.
Mm-hmm.
And now this year, that's a must-watch game, and you could really make the case that this is a nice time to catch the Packers right now.
It could be.
Starks is hurt. 3 days rest. They have a pass rush. They can score. It seems like you can move the ball on this Packers team, and I could see myself talking talking myself into the Lions plus whatever. What
Look,
do you think?
You're falling asleep already on Trick the Fence.
I had a salad burp, and I didn't want to burp on the air. I thought that would have been inappropriate.
We would welcome it. But, I think the Packers are a lot better than the Lions.
I do, too.
In almost every area, but maybe you're right. Maybe they do catch them off guard. What do you think the line is?
Detroit can score, and I think the fans will show up. And the fans are going to be great, and they're going to be so fired up to see the Lions potentially end that streak and whatever that, you got to factor it in. I'm going to say Detroit by 5.5. I'm sorry, Green Bay by 5.5.
You're going to get this. All right, I said 7. I think it's risky giving anyone less than 7 against Green Bay, but it's 6.
Yeah.
So you're going to get it. You're a half point off.
I just want to say that I did incorporate the Thanksgiving bump with my three picks for these lines.
I think
Vegas bumps it toward the home team on Thanksgiving.
Well, not Detroit traditionally, but
Detroit traditionally in general, and I think this year because they're just competent enough to make a case that they might be decent.
Well, this might be. I mean, on 3 days rest, these games are a coin flip anyway.
Yeah.
When it comes down to that, so maybe they do upset them, but I wouldn't take it.
I want to bet plus 200 on Kevin Smith blowing out both of his ACLs again in this game.
Both of them?
Yeah, coming off 3 days rest, I don't think his ACLs are going to be ready.
Wow, so he's going to blow one out and then play with that and then blow the other one out.
That's going to be simultaneous
play.
In the first play.
Oh,
it's going to be a halfback pitch and he's just going to fall down.
I'm going to use that as a prop.
Yeah, you should.
The second game, Miami at Dallas. I think this is going to be the best of the three games, unfortunately.
Oh, you don't want any part of this Miami team right now.
No.
It's like one of the only things I was right about last week.
They're more consistent than us over the last
month. Yeah, I love Miami.
Sperano's going to want to beat us. I don't like this game at all.
That was the only game I bet straight up last weekend. I love this Miami team. I think they might get to 9-7 if they win this game.
You were all over them. And
love them.
The fact that Fitzpatrick refuses to throw further than 7 yards downfield is a big plus for anyone playing them.
He's been exposed. This is a nice spot for Dallas, though, because Miami's feeling good. Now you get the 3 days rest. Go to Dallas. You get to play home. I had this one a little bit high. I had this as Dallas by 7 points.
Wow. I had it even higher. I had 9, and it is 7, in fact. So you get exactly right.
Excellent. I think that's a fair line, and I think I could see yourself talking yourself into a 6.2 team tease.
I sure will.
And somebody's going to blow it for you.
I know.
I bet on this? Maybe I just do the two money lines on the two teams.
Just bet against me.
Yeah, okay.
But let me ask you, from someone who's not a fan of the team, is Rob Ryan getting harder and harder to look at? I feel like we have Captain Lou Albano running our defense. I'm really waiting for him to put the rubber bands to his chin and sub in the Wild Samoans in our nickel package. I can't take it anymore.
The rubber bands would be great. He should just do that 1 week. I love that idea.
It is rough. It is rough.
And for some reason, I don't, and maybe it's because he looks like a werewolf, but they do show him an awful lot for a defensive coordinator.
They really do.
It's not like this guy has been like the puppet master the last 20 years, just pulling strings and winning Super Bowls.
Yeah.
And he's a random defensive coordinator who's had a pretty average career.
If he cut his hair and lost 300 or 400 pounds, they'd never show him.
You should, it's too bad your Jimmy show doesn't do more football, because you could have Ralphie May like put a beard on him and he could be the long lost Ryan defensive coordinator.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
I'm going to pitch it anyway.
Pitch that out. It'll be good. It'll be good.
And now San Francisco at Baltimore, the night game.
Oh. You know, man, I would have said 3 normally, but I think the short week and the West Coast, East Coast, I think it's 3.5 by Baltimore, and I like San Fran.
All right. I said 3.5, as you did, and so we're going to tie on this. It was 5. It went down to 3.
Whoa.
And, yeah, I thought short week going west to east was going to be the difference there. But
I don't think anyone is sold on this Baltimore team at this point.
Who did you say you like?
I like San Fran. I think San Fran's good, and I think Baltimore's going to have a lot of trouble scoring.
Yep.
And the only way that, the Thursday night, that's a tough one. Playing a night game, like four days after you already played. But I think San Fran's better.
They might be better. And I'm not betting this game. There's no way I'll win. I've bet against the Niners all year. I've bet Baltimore all year, and it hasn't worked out well for me.
San Fran, big winner with the Chicago, with the Cutler thing, by the way.
Why so? What do you mean?
I think it's Green Bay and San Fran.
Oh.
And then there's a huge drop-off now to the next group of teams in the NFC.
Oh,
I do.
Right. Well,
you got Dallas, you got the Giants, you got Atlanta, New Orleans. They're all the same team. They could win or lose any game. I think Chicago was the one team that easily could have been the top wild card and won all three road games and gotten in the Super Bowl, and now that's out the window.
They are tough, San Francisco, and they only played Arizona yesterday, but they're the kind of team that you look up and you're down, you know, you're down 10-0, 13-0. Your field goal kicker can miss three field goals, and you're still, like, well in charge of the game.
Yeah, Akers was bound and determined not to let them cover that spread, and they still did it. Akers went into that going, you know what? People think this is the right amount of points, and I have something coming for them.
Now, what would be better than topping off the Thanksgiving festivities with the Harbaugh brothers fight while shaking hands after the game? I would pay. Well, I'd give $12.99 pay-per-view.
I love people are so desperate to all those cameras, like 50 cameramen come in so they can capture the emotional hug. And by the way, they just hugged 3 hours ago.
I know.
It's not like Survivor where they're seeing their family again for the first time in 30 days.
Right.
What a great day.
That's gonna be fun.
You could say though, you could argue that those three games are all better than any of yesterday's afternoon games except for morning or afternoon games except for San Diego, Chicago.
Well, they're better than any of the afternoon games we're about to see on Sunday.
All right.
And that's Houston at Jacksonville starts it off.
Man, I don't know why I still believe in this Jags team, because Blaine Gabbert's just not good at football. It doesn't seem like.
Yeah.
Is he good at football?
No. Electric football. He's good at. I don't know. I don't know if he's good.
I know there's not a lot of Jags fans out there, but the Andy Dalton versus Blaine Gabbert thing has to hurt at this point.
Oh, yeah.
It's just like a total talent misevaluation. Leinart, I don't think they could be favored by more than 4, so I'm saying Houston by 4.
All right. I went 5. I thought about Leinart. Like, they still run the ball, and they play great defense, Houston, but it's 3.5. You're going to get this. You're killing me now. 4-1.
Yeah, I think that's a fair line, because you could make the case the Jags D is good enough that they'll just go 8 in a box and Leinart will have to make some plays.
They didn't play last week, though. I thought maybe they could. I guess
a reader made an interesting point. I didn't run this in my column last week, but Leinart had a chance to be Seattle's starting quarterback.
Oh, right. Yeah. With Pete Carroll. Yeah.
And instead, he chose to re-sign with Houston to be Matt Schaub's backup.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little weird. Who does that?
Do you think he had a hit put on Matt Schaub?
No, I think it's weird that he didn't want to be a starting quarterback. Like, he was kind of happy living in Houston and being a backup. That doesn't show me a ton of ambition. Maybe there's something in the story I'm missing, but if you have a chance to be a starting quarterback, it shouldn't matter what city you're in and what team you're playing for. Like, you jump at that.
But he's got a real pretty face. He wants to protect it. Or maybe he just doesn't like getting coached by Pete Carroll. I don't know. I
that
bet
could
that
be part of it.
A long way.
Like, do you think maybe... being a backup QB is really like one of the great jobs anybody can have?
Absolutely.
You still get all the same Mugambo that you would have gotten as a starting QB. And basically, you go to practice, you throw a couple outs and a couple ins, you kind of nod at everything the starter says, you have to know the playbook, and then you have a really good seat for games.
And plus, his name is Matt, and when he goes to parties and people are like, hey, this is Matt, he plays for Houston, but half the people aren't paying attention.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're the starter.
Congrats, buddy.
Yeah, you're not going to correct them.
So. Yeah, good point.
It works out. Carolina at Indy. If you watch any of the college games, I know you did, all of a sudden, not as imperative for the Colts to lose every game now that they see they could have a choice between three quarterbacks who might be just as good as the one that they've been targeting.
All right, I have a comment on that, but first I'm going to guess the line.
Go ahead.
Normally I would say Carolina by 3, but I think there's going to be a half-point bump because Vegas is just feeling like the Colts are tanking. So I'm going to say Carolina 3.5.
You're destroying me. I said 5. Team is tanking, so why is it less than 5? It's 4.
Oh.
So you were closer there.
Well, Carolina, I don't know if you knew this, but Carolina's defense is one of the worst defenses I think we've ever seen in professional football.
Yeah, and I don't know how that happened. But
they had it was at least a double digits lead, and then the Lions just scored every time they had the ball.
Cam Newton needs to run around, literally to kill clock. He needs to run maybe even backwards in the backfield just to shorten the game a little bit.
That's a good point.
What's your comment? What are you, this quarterback thing?
Well, I have one more comment. Indy could now win a game and still not be in luck danger, right?
Yeah, sure.
Everybody has at least two wins. Do I have that correct?
I believe so, yeah.
Yeah. So they could, you don't want to go 0-16.
Yeah. But I thought that last week, too, against who'd they play, the Jaguars?
Yeah. I watched the entire USC game from start to finish with Robert Mays, a.k.a. the Baby Bear. And we were talking as early as the second quarter about how this would be the week that all the Luck versus Barkley and all the people in the talking head shows are, I'll tell you what, I'm not so sure I wouldn't rather have Matt Barkley.
Right.
Like a lot of that. That's going to start this week. And what pisses me off as a Pats fan, I tweeted this yesterday, is that you could have a scenario here where the Colts get Luck and then Barkley falls. Well, maybe he won't fall now that the Dolphins are 3-7, but I just don't want both of those guys in the AFC because Barkley is really good.
Right.
He's going to be, I mean, he's better than Sam Bradford, right? Would you rather have him or Sam Bradford?
He's solid. The USC always has giant receivers who come to the ball. So it's very hard to tell. But all I know is one thing. They were talking about Luck can get, you can get three first rounders for Luck. I think those days are gone.
Yeah, I think those days are gone.
Yeah.
I think it's more realistic that they trade Manning. Peter King had a thing in his column today about Manning has some like $25 million bonus or something that they would have to pay before they traded him, but they could work something out with his agent where if they were trading him, the new team would pay the bonus or whatever. I just can't.
I don't see it. Unless like a Daniel Snyder swoops in and reconfigures everything in that deal.
First of all, how dare you say you can't see it when Daniel Snyder is in the National Football League?
I know.
When he's more than willing to go after anybody who's washed up or on the downside.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I guess it comes down to a loyalty thing. I just think it would be crazy if you're the Colts to keep Luck and not play him. And they're going to, if you want to talk yourself into Aaron Rodgers, you know, Rodgers is on the record. It's like, oh, sitting was really good for me and all that stuff. It's like, all right, well. You know, people weren't really sure that you were good when you were sitting. Like,
sure.
This guy we know is good. And also, so Mays was saying that the USC receivers in their line, like their left tackle would be like the second or third pick in the draft.
Yeah.
And that their supporting cast is so much better than Luck said it's not fair. Like, if you put Luck on USC, the same stuff would be happening. Do you agree with that?
Well, Luck had three all, he had three All-American linemen last year, or three all-conference linemen.
So you don't buy that theory?
He has two good tight ends, real good tight ends he throws to. His receivers are inferior to USC's.
USC's true freshman is my favorite point on college football other than their fat kicker. The fat kicker is the greatest, and we might have to get him on a podcast at some point. I love the fat kicker.
Are you going to call him the fat kicker when he comes on?
Well, I think you got to own it at that point. You got to wear the shirt that's like a tiny bit too tight for you, so like your little fat handle's hanging down the bottom, but I like the fat kicker.
I could ask him right now. He's around the corner. He's waiting in line at Pink. He's been in line since 10:30 in the morning.
All right, let's
Cleveland
keep going.
At Cincinnati.
Cleveland at Cincinnati. Man, the Bengals just are good. They're a good team.
They are. Nothing phases them.
Nothing.
Really,
they just hang.
Again.
Yeah, they just make do with what they have. It's reminds me of old school Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
This line will be at least 7, and I'm going to say Bengals by 8.5.
All right. Why did I go so high in all these? I said 9, because I just don't think Cleveland competes with this team, and it's 7.5. So there you go, Cincy Dallas, two-team teaser.
The Browns actually played half decent in that Jags game. I was thinking, you didn't watch that game with Corolla, did you?
No, he wasn't there.
Because that was the all-time Corolla's mission in life now is for the uprights to be higher.
Oh, yeah.
We've all heard the same rant. You and I have probably heard it a combined 25 times. His podcast listeners, because he can't remember what he's talked about, has probably heard it 50 times.
Right.
But I got to say, there's really no counter. Like, why aren't they higher?
Well, the only thing I'll say is, and he works, he's a contractor on the side.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure there's some kind of issue with extending the uprights to the sky.
Right. Corolla wants them to be built like how, like we built the Empire State Building back in the mid-70s or whatever they built it, or the World Trade Center originally.
Yeah, it becomes a target.
No, right.
You have obstructed seats, you know, 1,000 obstructed seats off the flash prices.
But it does seem weird that in this day and age of 2011, we can't at least like beam lights up and have the football cross through the lights and then figure out with some computer program if it would have ricocheted in or out or what would have happened.
Yeah, there should be something. I think like what they do with the tennis, if the ball's out or in.
Yeah, we have that. We have in football, we can watch a game with the first down line, the fake first down line.
Right.
Feels like at the very least, TV networks should have technology that shoots the light through the uprights, and then the ball has a tiny chip in it, and we see if it was really a field goal.
But what would you do, though? Because so many balls hit the post, and some hit the post and fall in, and some hit the post and fall out. It depends, like, what part of the ball hits it, or, you know, what angle or what speed. Would they be able to figure that out?
Now it's got too complicated. Maybe the computer program would figure out by the miles per hour and where it crossed the beam of light, whether it would have gone in or out.
Yeah.
It would be awesome. Plus, we'd have people arguing about the technology. I'm all for it.
I like it, too. Yeah. I say we make the pylons 80 feet high, too.
Somebody said that the other thing we could do is just make the uprights meet at the top. Just have a bar at the top that goes across.
And
if you don't kick the kickoff within the square, it's no good. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Wow.
Now you have to aim it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They should turn this goalpost upside down completely and see just whatever it will be, will be.
I do. It does seem a little dubious that the uprights can't be higher.
Yeah.
Like, what's going to happen? Like, they're going to tip over? I guess I know they did it for college because people were carrying the uprights down, but people were savages in the mid-70s. No football fan base is going to carry the uprights, like, you know, across the field. That doesn't happen anymore.
Right. Or just put barbed wire on it.
Yeah. People want to leave when the game ends. They want to beat the parking lot rush. Anyway.
By the way, real quick with that, back to Cincinnati, it's like my favorite moment of the week was Pac-Man Jones pulling Torrey Smith down by his hair.
Oh, my God. It was so good.
It's really good. Like, and Pac-Man said after, he said he closed his eyes and pretended he was in a strip club. Somebody, I had it there, like, oh, was that a horse collar? Like, no, he pulled on his hair. It's like, how could that be legal? Like, oh, yeah, I guess that makes sense. It should be legal.
Yeah, it's weird because it's the he was asking for it defense. Like, hey, he grew his hair that way.
Right.
Yeah, it's part of the field. All right,
Minnesota at Atlanta. No Adrian Peterson.
Oh, man.
Toby Gerhart.
Yeah. This is what you get for drafting Toby Gerhart too high.
Mm.
Minnesota at Atlanta?
At Atlanta, yeah.
God, Atlanta just keeps getting... They make me mad.
I know.
It just seems like they're somehow going to finish like 12-4, and we're all going to look at each other and go, what just happened?
It doesn't seem like they win games they're not supposed to, so how could they finish 12-4? But I know what you're saying.
It's never impressive with them. You never watch an Atlanta game and go, whoa, that team's humming.
Yeah.
That team, whoa, watch out for that team. Nobody's made those words ever.
Right.
I'm going to say Atlanta by 9.5.
All right, that's what I said, too, and it's 8.5.
Mm.
So we split that.
Mm.
You were up 7-2, including the tie.
Can I just tell you that I lost a $50 parlay at 22-1 odds on the Broncos money line, the Jaguars, the Dolphins, and the Bears, all to beat the spread because Jack Del Rio couldn't figure out a way to score from first to goal from the two. Would have been one of my great bets ever. Let off with Tebow.
He cost you $1,000?
Jack Del Rio, yeah. Cost like $1,100.
Wow.
Yeah.
Ugh. Yeah. That's rough. What was the halftime? I mean, there's no way to get out of that, right? Because those other guys.
I thought the Jags were going to win. I didn't want to hedge it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway.
Cleveland has 4 wins. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Buffalo at the Jets.
It is ridiculous that they have 4 wins.
Yeah. As many wins as the Eagles.
Great times for the Jets here. They already know they can beat this team. They need a win. And I'm sure we haven't heard the last of them either. I'm going to say Vegas has now given up on the Bills. And Jets by 8.5.
You were right. I thought that Vegas had given up on the Jets, and it was the other way around. It's 8. I said 5.5. I was dumb of me.
Mm.
I was dumb of me. So you're killing.
It's over with the Bills.
Oh, it's got to be, right?
It was over 2 weeks ago.
And now they're getting guys hurt and everything.
Yeah.
But Well, but what about you? So you're sold on the Jets again?
No, not at all. I think it's hard to kick the crap out of a team twice.
That's right. They did lose to them a couple weeks ago.
Yeah. The Sanchez thing's going to be interesting because I do think the Jets fans have had enough with him. And if anything goes wrong in that game, they'll start yelling at him.
Well, I'll say this. I mean, he relies on that little middle screen to either Tomlinson or Green more than we know, because both those guys were out, and then he just had to pray that Joe McKnight did something, and he did.
The one interesting thing that I would watch out for with the Jets is, I really thought a couple of their guys quit on that last drive.
Yeah.
Revis got bowled over. The two guys in the end zone on the winning touchdown by the son of God, Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
I don't know what they were doing. They've gotten rightfully skewered over the last few days, but the replays are just damning. Like, almost like you kick those guys off the team for how little they cared.
Terrible missed tackles.
Really awful. Like, just watching it. Like, it was like they were watching it on television. They were just blinded by Tebow.
Yep.
But there is a chance this team might be quitting a little bit.
Well, my favorite thing about them is my newest pet peeve. And everyone says it, like someone hears someone else say it, and then it's just like an epidemic. Like, the Jets have no identity. Why does a football team have to have an identity? Like, shouldn't you be good at everything?
Oh,
no, they run first and they play good defense. Like, no, they do have, why, who cares if they have no identity?
Lombardi came over and watched the games with us yesterday, and I think he said this in the podcast too. Like, that the Jets are in a really weird place with Sanchez, because they're going to have to pay him like a year and a half from now.
Oh.
And, you know, what do you do? He was your fifth pick. Can you win a title with him? I don't know. Like, do you make a run for somebody else? Like, what do you do?
Well, they don't really even have to pay him now because he has no identity. And how do you write a check out to someone with no identity?
You write to John Doe.
Yeah. All right, Tampa Bay at Tennessee.
Ooh. Raheem Morris, suddenly in the chat. We never did those. You should do that for your gambling blog on Thursday, the coach to get fired odds, because we still haven't had a coach fired. Raheem Morris is climbing up the charts.
Those are real. I loved Sperano at that in the beginning.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah, you're right.
Then we thought it was going to be Del Rio.
That's right. So maybe everyone lasts this year. There's not much time left. There's only a month left.
I don't think North Turner has a lot of losses left.
Mm.
In fact, we'll get to that game, but I think this could be it for him if they lose this week. Somebody's going to lose. What was the game? I'm sorry.
Tampa Bay at Tennessee, and I guess they're saying Hasselbeck will start.
Yeah.
I don't know if that helps.
I'm going to say Tennessee by 4.
Oh, wow. I actually won one. I got this one exactly. It's only 3.
Really?
No respect for this Tennessee team.
Why would you respect the Tampa team?
Yeah, maybe right.
That's pretty weird.
If Jake Locker starts next year...
Yeah.
And then, I mean, there could be like 8 or 9 starting quarterbacks who are either in their first or second year next year, like 30% of the teams.
Well, and Barkley, potentially Barkley and Luck, and who's the other quarterback?
Griffin III.
Griffin III.
Yeah.
So you might have 3. Yeah,
3
that's
plus another 5 or 6 here. Yeah.
It's bad news for Colt McCoy.
Oh, yeah, he could be out.
Yeah.
All right, Arizona at St. Louis. Please not spend a lot of time on this.
Yeah, I'll rush through this. I'm going to say Rams by 2.5.
That's what I said, and it's 3.
All right.
So we split that. Now, Chicago at Oakland. Here are the late afternoon games. So those games stunk pretty much.
Yeah, those are bad.
Just read through that. Yeah.
Chicago at Oakland, man. I mean, I would have loved Chicago in this game pre-Cutler injury. I'm going to say... So there's a line on this game.
There is a line. I checked right before
you
called in.
I'm going to say Raiders by 4.5.
All right, I said 4, and it's 3.5, so I get it.
That doesn't make sense.
Well, I
want to see Caleb play a good game before he's getting less than 4 against a decent team.
Devin Hester's hurt. It's a different story.
Yeah.
Can I make a complaint? I know I'm about a dozen years late with this observation, but the oh, by the ways are getting way, 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 way out of hand on ESPN. And I won't even mention the anchor who said, but I counted 6 yesterday. It's not even used as a... It's like, in Chicago, looking at their schedule, and they have, oh, by the way, they have Oakland. Like, why is that special? That's not special, oh, by the way.
It's not.
Just let it go.
I'm not a fan.
All right, I'm not going to say which anchor or he or she is.
Yeah.
But here we go.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Washington at Seattle.
Ooh, another bad game. Is it just me, or can Rex look confident from time to time?
Well, I don't know what happened, but we made Jabbar Gaffney and Dante Stallworth look like monsters yesterday.
Yeah. I have to admit, I didn't know Dante was still in the league. And probably shouldn't be.
He was poised, and he's running. He's running the ball in the end zone.
Good. He made good throws. The throw, the touchdown throw to Stallworth was a good throw.
Shanahan kind of ruined this team for this year, didn't they?
Yeah.
I mean, first place the year, the week before, he benched Grossman, and then you know, this learning curve for a month, the offense never revitalized. So
I agree. I don't mind the Seattle team. I'm just going to come out and say it. I'm going to say Seattle by 4.
Wow, you got it. I said 2.5. I thought 4 was high.
Yeah, that's the home field.
All right, yeah. I guess. Isn't Washington in Seattle or vice versa?
No.
All right, Denver at San Diego.
Oh, my God. Who's not rooting for Tebow in this game? Find me anybody.
I think you got me, right here.
All right, you. Okay.
I think you have this all wrong. I read your column, and why are you rooting for this guy?
I love it.
Let me just, let me play this call, this message you left me.
What?
Yes, you left me another message. It was Thursday night. It started off pretty bleak, but here's how it goes.
All right.
Cousin Sal, sports guy here. I'm all out of breath. Just played a game of hoops at the local YMCA. I haven't been this winded since the time I broke the push-up record in neighbor's cucumber patch, but... this basketball whole experience got me really depressed. I don't understand how the league won't take into consideration the passion of the fans. They don't care about our feelings. And what's to become of Tim Thomas's mustache? Ever think of that? I break it down like this. If I could play one game of pickup basketball every 7 years and not get paid, why can't the players do that forever? Anyway, let me turn the TV on, see if I can catch a Top Chef finale. Oh, what's this? My new man crush, Tim Tebow, is driving the Broncos down the field, but they could take the lead. He avoids a tackle, avoids another tackle. He's in the end zone. Touchdown. That's my boy. I didn't see his statistics, but that must be his fourth touchdown in the game. I bet he has 500 yards passing. Oh, what? He refuses to throw a completed forward pass or first 3.5 quarters? Oh, that's all right. He's still my Tweety Bird, Tender Thigh, Timmy Terrific, Tub of Tic Tacs. And I've never been so in love in all my history of my life. Now I could die in peace for the 16th time. Wait, I was just kidding about dying. Here comes a ferocious grizzly bear. What is going on? He's going to kill me. This bit needs an ending. Help!
That was it.
Yeah.
You got killed by a grizzly bear. Rooting for Tim Tebow. What a shame.
I don't think you went far enough with the phone call. I was way more excited than that.
You really
I would have
were.
Beaten up the grizzly bear. I was so excited. I love it. When you watch somebody break the will of the other team like Tim Tebow does, you fall in love. What can I say?
All right, maybe because it was the Jets.
Maybe. But that's what I really
love. Let me ask you this. Why not put Kyle Orton in the first three quarters?
I've received that question a few times, and I don't really have an answer.
Just do it. Just do it already. Or, you should hate this. Like, this is not football. This is like when Lithuania beats the Olympic basketball team, the U.S. team. Is that a great thing? No, it's not the same game. It's not real. And you know one team's better than the other.
You know.
I can't take it anymore.
I love it, and I love that it makes people so upset. I don't think sports always has to make sense.
All right.
There you go.
You're rooting for the wrong side here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. What's the line? Denver at San Diego.
Denver at San Diego. Man, I think it's weird, but it makes sense for them to jack the line toward Denver because so many people are enjoying this whole Tebow thing. I'm going to say San Diego by 4.
All right. I get a little break here. I said 7, and it's 6.5.
Oh, well, I was wrong about them jacking the line toward Denver.
Well, this is their season, San Diego, right? I mean, they're 2 games out.
They stink. How about this? They're not good.
Yeah.
They're not a good football team.
They're not good.
They have no good players. Name me 2 good Chargers on defense.
Well, and Denver stands out. They specialize in pick sixes. Maybe Rivers should just hand off the first 3 quarters. Maybe that should be it, just a handoff.
I think when we talk about... Allow me to be the 90th person to make the Von Miller. We should talk about Von Miller when we talk about Tebow. But, forget about the Tebow part. Just think about Denver's defense versus what we've seen from the San Diego offense.
Yeah.
And the fact that they have Champ Bailey, they can put him on Vincent Jackson. I think it's going to be tough for the Chargers to protect Rivers and move the ball.
It is.
So I like this as an upset pick.
And I'll be the millionth person to say he misses Darren Sproles. I mean, that's it. He needed that relief.
I'll tell you what. He misses Darren Sproles. He misses having that little out guy. Anyway.
All right. No line here. New England at Philly. I think you'd be favored by... I think you'd be favored by 5 here.
But, yeah, I would have said 3.5.
Really?
Yeah.
That low. If Vince Young's quarterback?
Oh, Vic's not coming back?
I don't know.
All right.
Just put a
Jack. Vince Young, yeah, it should be like 5 or 6.
And then Sunday night, Pittsburgh at Kansas City.
Oh, man. That's a nice one for the Steelers. Poor Kansas City. I'm going to say Steelers by 11.5.
Wow, you just get it. I said 8. I went low, and it's 10.
All right.
I read that the Steelers, I mean, they're coming off a bye, so they watched 2 weeks' film of Tyler Palco.
It's good.
No, it's mostly like his high school graduation video and his communion. But
I just found out this weekend because I mentioned that I didn't know who Tyler Palco was, and apparently he's the guy who beat out Joe Flacco in college.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's who he is. Yeah.
Right. Coach Wan's not favorite. Yeah. All right. Monday, Giants at Saints. Great game, hopefully.
And that's a good one. This Giants team, they've had like 7 seasons already.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think people are out on the Giants again, which is when they always thrive.
Right.
I'm going to say Saints by 5.5.
All right, you got it. I went too low on this one. It's 6.5.
Ooh.
I don't know.
People really are out on the Giants.
I don't know. You know what? They need to start showing the coin toss on the telecast. I mean, 11 in a row for the Saints. That's as remarkable as anything we're going to see in a game.
Yeah, I emailed you that stat, yeah. And I got the wow back with like 7 exclamation points from you. So I knew you really enjoyed it.
Sometimes
you just get the straight wow with no exclamation points, but that one got a lot of them.
The Browns have 9, apparently. The Browns have lost 9, I think, coin tosses in a row.
It really is something that Vegas should keep better track of.
Yeah, they should get us. We will win them a coin toss.
You know what you got me fascinated on are who's going to score the most points this week.
Bet. I know.
I love the Bears yesterday, but I didn't bet it, and it ended up being the Lions, right? 45.
It was the Lions, but you know the Panthers at 24 at half. You're like, oh, it's going to be the Panthers. This is crazy. That could be 30-1. Probably.
That's a fun bet. I think that's the most fun bet of the weekend. I'm just going to start doing it every weekend. You figure you win once, you win your money back. Like the rule should be, you have to bet.
Yeah,
has to be at least 10-1 or higher or something. You just roll the dice.
I think we figured it out. We haven't made a dime off it, but the way to target one game, right? Preferably on turf.
Right.
So
you want to target one game, and you want to target the team that's the underdog because they have the much better odds, right?
Yeah.
So.
Well, Detroit over Green Bay might not be too bad.
Oh, for this week?
Yeah, I'm just looking at it.
Oh, that is a good one. I'm looking at it, too.
You have to sit through the whole weekend and try to hope it doesn't lose.
The Giants could be interesting.
Oh, yeah. Let's go, Giants. They'll throw that ball.
Do some plugs other than the amount of food you're going to eat for Thanksgiving.
Forget it. Jimmy Kimmel Live, Artie Lang and Nick DiPaolo on tonight.
Wow.
Lady Antebellum. Tomorrow, the Dancing with the Stars winner. Who else? Oh, Nickelback, one of your all-time favorites, will be on. And Grantland Wednesday, I'll have a new gambling blog on the Triangle. Is it in the Triangle or on the Triangle?
Either, however you want to say.
All right. And tonight, my prop... Winner tonight, will Rob Gronkowski score a touchdown? No, he will not.
Oh!
115, jump on it.
Stunning!
Yes, it's all Hernandez tonight.
Oh, that's interesting. Oh, you think they go right to Hernandez?
Yep, they're going to switch it up. Good feeling.
Cousin Sal, as always a pleasure. Thank you.
All right, Bill, thanks.
Bye-bye.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Jacoby, come in here. We're going to fill some time with Dave Jacoby right now. Dave Jacoby now in the studio. What's happening?
Not much. There's no one monitoring whether this is actually recording.
So okay, good.
It may not happen, but I've got news for you, Bill.
Yeah.
I know you've been working very hard this morning. You probably missed it.
Yeah.
That the young lady who was the creator of the Jersey Shore has a new show out.
Oh, my Lord. And what's it called?
I believe it's called Mama Drama.
Mama Drama.
Okay, just based on that alone, why don't you just tell me what you think it is?
All right, this is good. I like this. Mama Drama. I'm going to say it's about mothers and daughters who don't get along, and they're both single, and they're all in a house together.
Did you see the article?
No, I swear to God.
Pretty much exactly. I'm not 100% sure it's called Mama Drama. I read the blog post, but that's pretty much 100% it.
Mothers and daughters in the same house?
Yeah, but it's even better than that. It's like a lot of groups of mothers and daughters in the same house, but it's that like weird mother and daughter relationship where they're like best friends and they want to like go out together and like gossip about guys and stuff. Like they've like gone out and found like five of these sort of pairs of weird mother daughters, put them in a house and see what happens. And it just seems like a recipe for the perfect disaster.
So the real world, the 19-year-old designated driver and her mom could have been on that thing.
I think not crazy enough.
Do you think there's a rule like there can't be more of a 19-year age difference between you and your daughter?
It's better. It's better if it's 30 years and the mom is like 52 and still thinks that she can like hang and wear the same
super
stuff.
Cougar mom.
Yeah, you know what I mean? I think it's better if there's a larger gap because then the delusion factor goes up.
Well, all right, here's my quick, because you blindsided me with this, obviously. So here are my quick impressions. One.
Okay.
My wife will watch the show every week.
Doesn't matter.
Two, my wife will eventually want to be on the show with my daughter.
Yeah. With Zoe.
52-year-old wife and my daughter arguing about pants. Three, I like having, if this is how they're going to do it, I like having like the five pairs. Because it's really like you can fight with your mom because daughters and mothers are going to fight anyway.
But
now also fighting with everyone else in the house.
Yeah, and there's also the built-in, like, I have to have your back. Like, don't talk about my daughter like that. Don't talk about my mother like that.
Yeah.
I mean, that's going to happen probably at least seven times an episode.
Yeah.
And, like, obviously...
It could be a good drinking game.
Yeah. This was a Hollywood Reporter article that I just kind of skimmed through. Like, once you see, like, mama drama, pairs of mothers in a house, you kind of, like, get it.
Yeah.
But there's one quote from the lady who I want to say her name is Sally Salsano.
Something like that, yeah. Sally Ann something.
Something, yes. Yeah. And shout out to her for making my life so much better than it already was.
Me too.
And she's like, I felt like the first season of Jersey Shore where I just couldn't leave the control room because at any second anything could happen.
Oh, yeah.
Now, granted, that's exactly what you want her to say, and any show she ever comes out with, she's going to say that. But I'd be lying if I didn't get like 10% goosebumps when I read that.
You know, it does bother me that the reality, when they're creating these, that they don't come to us.
I think it's only a matter of time.
You know how, like, Warren Buffett, people go to what, like, LeBron's forming his company and Mavericks, like, let's take Warren Buffett out to lunch. And we won't give him any stock in the company, but we'll just feel him out. We'll get, maybe he'll give us two things
not,
that we
we're
can
We're not going to, like, completely revamp your idea. We're just going to add one or two little punches.
Yeah, we'll listen to it, and we'll just turn it over, and we'll give you, like, two things. Just make us consultants and buy us dinner and
do you know, like,
whatever.
Wiles is great with that. Wiles is great with anything. Any idea you have, just come with it, and he'll just be like, oh, he'll make, like, a 2% change that makes a 20% difference.
So here would be my suggestion, other than it sounds like they're on the right path. I think you need to have at least one or two really good-looking guys who work in the house, like butler, really handsome butler.
They did that.
They did that in the Bad Girls Club.
It's the worst though. They like hire like some like you know struggling actor to be like the pool guy. He's such a bad actor that he can't pull off being a pool guy.
I don't even think it has to be an actor. I think it's legitimately somebody who's like. There's a bartender and a butler, and they're both, and they're all flirting with them and all that stuff. That's what I need.
Men to fight over.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And I also think, like, I must imagine that if you take, I think it is 10 women, and it would only make sense if they were single. It doesn't really work. I mean, some of them might have, like, real-world boyfriends.
Yeah.
But they can fight with each other. They always will. It's just, like, nature will run its course. But it's better when they fight over stuff.
Well, that's so maybe you limit it to four hair dryers in the house.
Ooh.
And that's it.
Oh, yeah. I'm
three
sure
curling irons.
Yeah, yeah. There's definitely only like one and a half.
You've been there a dryer for a half hour.
Yeah, one and a half baths, one phone, one laptop.
That's smart.
They do that well. It's sort of like it's like Neanderthals fighting over resources.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, they've got that thing down.
The only thing I don't like is when there's not enough toilets. I thought that's when Jersey Shore really turned for me, when Dina was clogging the toilet. I was just so upset with that for so many different reasons. I was already grossed out with Dina, and now I just couldn't watch it anymore.
It took you that long for Jersey Shore to turn on you?
Yeah, it did. It took me that long. Dina clogged the toilet when I was out. But, I like when people fight over stuff. I like when they fight over guys.
But I think the mother-daughter thing's going to be great, because there's, like, baby-daddy drama.
Oh, yeah.
And then there's going to be a lot of, like, this is when it's going to get good to me is when one mother starts going in on another mother's daughter. Because it's always weird, like... Like if a...
What, you dressing like a whore?
Yeah, exactly. And then...
Like, wait, you don't call my daughter a whore!
Don't call my whore daughter a whore! You know,
like, only I can call her a whore!
Exactly, it's going to be one of those things. It's going to go weird really fast, and I'm really excited about it.
Well, do we have... See, I don't like when the girls are too young. Like, on Basketball Wives, when Kenny Anderson's wife was on that year, and her daughter was 16, and she went... She was, like, too young, and I just felt bad for her.
Yeah.
Like, she was, like, still savable.
But not only that, she had a very sweet, innocent face.
Yeah, she was just like, nice. Quiet. She was like, oh, I feel bad.
Yeah,
this
like,
is terrible.
Evelyn's daughter, who's going to college, if you don't remember her.
Yeah, yeah. Was, like, I felt bad for her, too.
I didn't. She's, like, of the age. You know, she's going off to college. She's, like, kind of adultish, and she kind of had an attitude about the whole thing, and she had a head on her shoulders. Kenny Anderson's daughter just sat there, like...
She was overwhelmed by the moment. Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
She was, but like the other one didn't mind the cameras.
So you don't think having Anton Walker as your former stepfather and Chad Ochocinco as your current stepfather would put you in shock?
No,
I feel like you'd be like
ready for anything at that point.
Half shock. The girl should be at least 18.
Okay, fair. Yeah. Did you have anything on the agenda when you invited me in here? Or would you just
no? That was it. I figured it'd have one thing. the other thing. So. Email us if you're a fan of Jacoby's Reality Scorecard, which is excellent, which runs every Friday on Grantland.com. We are going to tinker with the league for 2012.
Yeah.
And what it looks like we're going to do is we're going to make an auction format. So we all have a certain amount of money at the start of the year. We bid on the characters. And the real reason for this is because Frank has ruined our league in the real world. He's had 700 points, and Connor just randomly got him.
I'm not sure his real name is Frank.
It's like he made the token effort to pretend he was interested in the female roommate for 30 minutes, and then was immediately...
Not even 30 minutes. One 20 segment. What can you do?
It's whatever. Frank, we're on your side.
Whatever you say, Frank, I'm in on.
Yeah.
Whatever you say you are, you are.
Don't try to pretend to be who you're not.
As far as I'm concerned, whatever you are, you are. But that's not. But what I'm saying is you're now biting off a little bit more than you can chew. Because we have this mama drama, which if they don't call it mama drama, they should, starts on January 1st. So we have a lot of work to do.
Well, we also, the biggest mistake we made these first 6 months, and you were a buck passer, you blame me for it, was not having Real Houses of Beverly Hills.
Yeah, you said not to have it.
Well, because the guy just committed suicide, and we made a panic decision.
That's a pretty good decision if you ask.
Well, we could have waited a week, and now it's like, even the producer's like, screw it.
A week is enough mourning for
No, because we thought it was going to be like, screw up the show, and it really hasn't. Like, he's actually a character in the show, and whatever. They've moved on, and it shouldn't have taken away from A.
We missed some great moments.
Kim's phenomenal performance this season. I think MVP. One of the greats of all time.
For sure.
Like how we look at like Barry Bonds' 2001 season.
Yeah.
I've gone from saying...
Which one was more tainted with drugs?
Both. I've gone from telling people that I only watch the show because my wife watches it to watching it on my own without my wife. I'm like, Kim's on! No!
We were watching football yesterday, and there was a spare TV over in the corner.
Yeah.
And, you know, I lobbied hard to put Real Housewives of Beverly Hills on it. There's a marathon on yesterday.
I wanted it so bad. I didn't want everybody else to look down on me.
There's a quiet moment in the room, and Bill goes, I think this is my favorite show.
I was kidding.
What do you mean? What do you mean, Bill? I think this is my favorite show.
I love Kim. Like, when Kim comes on the TV.
Now, you meant it. You meant it when you said it.
Now, Homeland's my favorite show. I was trying to get a rise out of the room.
I fell asleep halfway through Homeland last night.
Oh, no. Yeah. Kim is my favorite character on TV. Can I say that?
Yeah, you can say that.
I love Kim. I like watching her, not knowing what's happening, what she's on.
More than Ken, the LPGA golfer?
Yes, more than Ken, the LPGA golfer with the little dog. I love that guy. He's awesome. I don't know what sex he is anymore.
He's sexy, I'll tell you that much.
I love Ken. I love
I want to spend time with
both
him.
Both of us are attracted to Kyle.
Reason to like take him for lunch or something. Be like, Ken, we want you to write an article for us or a column, and then just have a lunch with Ken.
I love Kelsey Grammer's ex-wife and how she's all of a sudden everybody likes her. And there was a tipping point that they never showed on the show. She went from being the one everybody hated. And I love Taylor, the Joker, as I call her in the house, because she kind of looks like the Joker, because she's been super skinny and has so much surgery.
I like the new one. It's a good show.
The one who's very buxom, Dana.
Dana.
Who's just desperate to be...
What do you mean by buxom?
She's very well endowed.
What do you mean?
She's very well endowed in the chest area.
Okay.
She really wants to be in the show. She wants to be in the cast.
Yes.
And
she thinks kissing up to the cast is going to get her on the show.
Nobody has ever tried harder to be friends with everybody.
She baked cookies for the sound man.
Yeah.
Asking about
what did you say yesterday when people were leaving? She's like, hey, I bought you a Cadillac. Just take
whatever
it.
Whatever you need. Yeah, yeah. You don't have a ride? There's no reason to give her a ride.
Laughing at every joke.
Take my BMW.
When they were turning on the girl in the crutches, whatever her name is, Brandy.
Tamara?
Brandy? Yeah, Brandy.
Okay.
The one Leanne Rimes broke up her marriage.
I don't know.
When they were all turning on that girl during the card game.
Though. She found out she was on that show and that she...
Yeah. Oh, it was terrible. Yeah. But she found out they turned on her and that Dana wanted so desperately. She just kind of was like Lord of the Flies. She just went with the pack.
Of course.
Throwing stones at her. Like, yeah, she's the best. That show is great. It's a great hour every week. I really enjoy it.
It is. And I think...
And oh, we didn't even talk about the British girl. The condescending old British lady who's fantastic.
Yeah, she's easily the one I would like to hang with the most.
Hang with?
No, actually, just like sit down and have a glass of wine with.
Yeah.
Yes, I think she's intelligent.
She's married to Ken the LPGA golfer.
She's married to Ken the LPGA golfer. I would love to just be, do you remember their houseboy they had?
Oh, Cedric.
Yeah, Cedric.
I love Cedric.
Cedric. If I could swap lives with Cedric for a month, it would make me so happy.
There was always like, maybe I was reading too much into it, but Cedric seemed like they just kind of brought Cedric in to mix things up in bed.
Ooh, whoa.
Cedric was just a three-way, and it could go anyway. Oh, Cedric's in the band. Uh-oh.
The LPGA golf.
Yeah, everybody's in play.
Yeah. Well, I never thought
probably not true, but it was just...
Oh, definitely
they were so
true.
Attached to him.
Definitely true, yeah.
I hope it's true. I want it to be true.
I want it to be true, too. Yeah. I want it to be on film, and I want to download it.
And we were so hurt by what Cedric did, what Cedric said about us.
This is a man who took into our house for 10 years.
I love that she invites the girls over for tea. And it's like catered.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
It's like when you guys came over yesterday.
It's a staff as big as the guest.
Yeah. You guys came over yesterday. My son and I went to the grocery store. We bought cold cuts.
Yeah, yes.
She's like, can you come over for tea? And there's seven people scurrying around, like making muffins from scratch. Like,
hanging in
how much can you waste money?
Yeah.
I also love when they have these events where they get awards. Like, these are whole shows. It's
There's always.
So, I'm getting an award for the website I'm doing. It's for Young Charitable Business of America. And it's like, what?
And I don't know
people
if
go to this?
Come together in time.
Because Camille Grammer won an award, too.
For what? What could she possibly
She won an award. She had to give a speech. And she's like, I was so nervous giving my speech. And it was like, I was nervous watching it because I don't know why you would win an award.
Yeah, she was also the
for being a former softcore porn star who got married.
I've
never
seen.
Ever.
She could not be worse. It was like she was speaking in a foreign language.
It was great.
It was out of control. Did you?
I will defend the show. And anybody who likes making fun of TV as they're watching it who doesn't watch the show, I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, it's
the number one show to make fun of as you're watching.
That's the thing. It really toes the line. I really enjoy hating things along with my lady.
Yeah.
And I really enjoy loving things as I watch them with her as well. And like we can do both at the same time with this show.
And the best part is the real reason the British woman hates Taylor is because I don't think she thinks Taylor has a lot of money. And her attitude is like, they're faking it. They rent their house. They don't own it. Like it's so catty. It's so awesome. It's like so like wealthy, bitchy. It's just great.
Taylor's great.
Taylor's great. They're all fantastic. It's the best cast I've ever had in that show.
Housewives Atlanta for the first time this season.
How'd that go?
No, it doesn't have the same.
What was the ethnic mix of that show?
It trends browner than the Beverly Hills does. Mm.
Because I think that's
there's a falcon in it.
Oh.
Kim Zolciak, this absolutely lunatic young lady lives in Atlanta that wears wigs.
An Atlanta falcon. I thought you meant an actual falcon,
no,
like a bird.
No.
It's like
No.
Takes their hair pieces
there's
away.
An Atlanta falcon named Cody. So you know,
I believe you.
Yeah, he's in it. Some sort of hybrid basketball wives L.A.
Yeah, I'm not saying you. I'm not saying you put Jackie Christie on the show.
Okay, fair.
That would be a little. I think that would be like throwing a chainsaw in a pool.
Maybe Kim Chartest.
That one, I didn't watch that show this season, but I did have it on the other night, and I saw the first like 10-12 minutes of the season finale, and they had all turned on Doug Christie's wife.
Yeah,
I read this in your column too, but I didn't really. I didn't to watch it. just see it, like how they all turned on her, and then she had the one girl left who didn't go on the vacation, and then she tried to spin it her way.
Oh no! Here's the thing: is the one girl left was Kimsha Artest, who's Kimsha World Peace, maybe, I don't know, who's Ron Artest's partner, life partner.
Yeah.
And she, after like the second episode, probably like the second day of taping, was just like, you know what? Screw this show. I'm not on the show. This is ridiculous. I've got other things to do. And then everybody turned on Jackie. So Jackie, in turn, had no one to go to and was like, oh, I'll just call Kimsha, who's been out of the loop for 2 months.
Mm. I will say this. It makes a lot more sense to me that the 2002 Kings did not win the NBA title after watching the little I've seen of Jackie. You can't have her as a wife in your locker room. Like, I don't know. That's going to destroy
because
your team.
She's literally in the locker room.
Yeah.
And she's traveling with the team.
She's a maniac.
Behind the bus.
Yeah.
She, just a couple of highlights before we go from Crazy Jackie Christie this season. She put Drea on the other side of the hotel from her and Doug's room. Intentionally. Just in a different wing of the hotel. Why?
No reason.
Oh, by the way, it was a girl's vacation, and she insisted that her husband go along with her on said girl's vacation because she doesn't go anywhere without her husband. Oh, and if that's not enough, she married him for the 16th time because they have an annual
marriage. I saw they got the annual marriage.
Annual marriage.
Yeah.
And she has an annual bachelorette party as well.
Yeah, that was a little weird too.
It's all a little weird.
My wife likes the earrings.
Oh, my wife will not be quiet about these earrings either.
My wife dressed up as a basketball wife for Halloween.
That's not true.
You didn't see that. Oh, it's totally true.
That's not true.
She totally 100% did.
I don't believe you.
I swear to God.
And we haven't spoken about this.
I forgot to tell you.
That's weird.
She wore a black wig, and she wore these giant awful earrings, and then she had like a baby mama t-shirt. And
that works.
Whole bit thing.
Here's what my wife said during the last episode. What is this, a contest to see who has the biggest earrings?
Yeah.
They all just wear giant earrings. And at one point, like, Kimsha not only had a huge hoop at the bottom of her ear, she had, like, the top of the ear huge hoop. So she had double huge hoops.
They're in now.
Yeah.
They're setting the trend.
I don't know what's in. I guess they are. There's going to be a lot of revamps for the reality television league.
So listen, if you want to help us out with this auction thing, what do you know? editors@grantland.com? Yeah, that's what it's called.
Yeah, you'll find it on the site.
Yeah.
If you need help.
Send us emails if you have any ideas for the auction format, because we do want to make it so that instead of just random draft order determining the season, there should be a little more skill, I think.
Oh, I see what's happening here,
yeah,
Bill.
I feel like I had the best year.
I see what's happening
I thought
here,
I had the
Bill.
Best year out of anybody.
Oh, you want to skew it so you can win the league.
I'm upset that Connor's winning.
Over there, upset. Huh?
Well, the real problem was the designated driver.
Boss man now.
No, the designated driver killed me.
God, man. How about you draft better and then you win?
Well, I should have drafted. Well, I don't know who else I could have drafted if not the designated driver was the clear number two pick.
Yeah. What? No,
here's
what happened is they put her in the promos with her top off, jumping into a pool.
And she talked about how she loved getting naked.
She talked about how she loves to get naked.
She's been naked once.
In on her.
She's been naked once.
Yep, she has not. Well, she was with her little boyfriend there underneath the covers.
You've talked about in your column that this was the most loathsome Real World cast ever.
I think loathsome is strong. This is the least entertaining.
I'd say most loathsome.
Sure, I mean, it sounds better.
You can't have this show without having a good guy. A guy that I want to... would want to like hang out with for 12 hours.
You need, there's a lot of things you need. And I think that one of the big problems was, is their wild card girl was a dude. Like, you need a crazy hot girl every season that's going to fight and be weird. And the other girl's going to be scared of, but like be nice to in their face and talk about behind her back.
Mm.
You need an alpha male.
You know what we should do as a column? We should try to create the perfect real world cast using old cast members, like what the perfect chemistry of the cast would be, because I do think they try to fit. We'll go here, we'll go here, we'll go here, we'll go here.
Yeah,
and then
that wouldn't
we do it that way. That's a good idea.
Yeah, that wouldn't take long at all.
And try to figure out, like, maybe we should do it two different ways: the Hall of Fame, the best eight characters ever, and then we do the if you were going to create the perfect show.
Well, the perfect show would be more fun because we could write fake dialogue.
Like, I would argue that you can't have more than one Adam or Frank. Adam from Real World Second Vegas.
Oh,
would have Frank dude. You can't have the lunatic person. You can't have two.
No.
You need to have one.
It's I think you can have more than one lunatic. I just think you need different brands of lunacy.
Well, like Wes from Real World Austin, whatever that show was, or like Jen with two N's from Real World Denver.
Yeah.
Those are two lunatics that they're not lunatics, but they're lunatics.
Yes.
By the way, they might both be on my cast.
Wes and Jen with two N's.
Jen with two N's is my first pick.
Jen with two N's. At some point, we have to get you and Jen with two N's in the same room at the same time.
Here's what we should do. We should do a snake fashion draft. We each pick 8 roommates. One of us gets first pick, then the other one gets second, third, then you get fourth, and so on. And we see who comes up with the better cast.
Oh, I'll dominate.
I will crush you.
There's no chance.
I'm going to crush you. Let's go back to the office and do this right now.
All right, I'm out of here.
BS report, gone.
So I get to sign off.
Whoa. Thank you for downloading the BS Report with Bill Simmons.
Too much fun.
Check out more podcasts at the iTunes Music Store or at Podcenter at ESPNRadio.com.
Peace out.